We're continuing through our series on true success through God's eyes. And again, as I mentioned before, that as we move forward in this next chapter of our church's lives, in our church's life, that we want to make sure we have a solid foundation of what's most important. When the world looks at success, at how much stuff do you have, how much money, like how high up the ladder at your place of employment are you at? All these factors come into play of what it means to be successful in this world's eyes. But what does it mean to a Christian to be successful in God's eyes? And that's what we must be concerned about. As we looked at different definitions of what true success is about, we started with faithfulness, that we need to be faithful before God, be consistent in our devotion to Him. We need to be serving one another as Jesus served His disciples and laid that example for us. It's not about being served, but it's about serving and honoring God in our service. It's about love. It's not about fulfilling our own selfish desires, but it's about showing love to others as God has showed love to us. And then last week we talked about faith, that faith is living out what you say that you believe. And as a Christian, it doesn't make any sense to say that we claim the Bible to be true and it's not evident in our own lives. And then this morning, we're going to go over the subject of prayer, how prayer is vital to have true success before God. Now, there are countless passages that we can go to when talking about prayer, both from the Old Testament and from the New Testament. Of course, one of the first things that comes to mind is the Lord's Prayer, right, which is a model of how to speak to God. And then remember from the Old Testament, Solomon's prayer as he dedicated the temple, and what a powerful prayer that was. And then how about Elijah's bold prayer on top of Mount Carmel, where he called down fire that consumed the sacrifice after the 450 prophets of Baal spent all day trying to have their sacrifice consumed without a fire. And then we think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, right, pouring out his heart in anguish as drops of what seemed like blood were coming down the side of his face. But he cries out, "Nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours be done." Scripture is rich with so many different prayers and teachings on prayer. But today, as I was thinking about success through prayer, what is a passage that would cause us to, that we could turn to, that could fully embrace success through the subject? And I thought of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. And this passage comes at the tail end of the armor of God. And sometimes we go through the armor of God, or if you've been going to church for a long time in Sunday school, if you remember the flannel graph of the armor pieces going up and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, then you just stop right there. But what about the continuation of the passage where it speaks about how prayer is so vitally important as the spiritual armor that you put on in your life? And for that, we turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. So we'll go ahead and read it now, then pray. "Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Lord, I pray that you speak through your word this morning. I pray that you open up our hearts to receive what you have for us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as many of you know, I was deployed this last year in the Middle East. And while I wasn't in active combat with bullets flying, I was definitely in high-threat locations, ministering as a chaplain. And one of the important lessons that was drilled into all of us, no matter what our job was, is don't be complacent. Don't be complacent, because we knew the moment that we relaxed and think everything was safe was when everything could go completely wrong and sideways. This is the message that Paul is impressing on the believers in Ephesus. This life isn't a peaceful walk in a safe place. We know that this life is more like navigating a war zone. And because of that, we're called to be vigilant, fully equipped with the armor of God and the sword of the Spirit. Part of staying ready for the fight isn't just putting on the armor, though. It's also about staying connected to God through prayer. The armor isn't ready. The sword isn't ready. We all aren't spiritually battle ready until we get to the part of prayer. So imagine this. Imagine you're going on a road trip, which me and my family just went on, right? And you got the snacks. You got to have the snacks. That's probably the first thing on the list, right? You got to get the snacks together. You pack your bag, right? You got your favorite drink. You got the music queued up in your vehicle. Everyone's loaded up. Everyone's ready to go. Then you jump in the driver's seat and you pad your pockets. What are you missing? Your keys. One of the most important things that you need in order to make your car start and be on your way, you need keys. And it's the same way we can have all the knowledge of God in our Christian walk. We can memorize scripture. We can even be actively involved in serving in our church. And all these things are good, but without prayer, they lack power, because power comes through prayer. Prayer is the key. See what I did there? Prayer is the key that connects us to the source. And what is that source? That source is our relationship with God. Yes, we can read scripture, God talking to us, but a relationship is two ways. How about us talking to God? And without it, we're just sitting in the car with all the right tools, but no vehicle to propel us forward in the mission that God has given us to do. So that brings us to point number one, pray. You know, scripture isn't complicated. And as I walk through this passage, I'm just highlighting what's already there. And the starting point is pray. You know, prayer is all good. We can talk about prayer all we want, but prayer is only meaningful when we engage in it, when we actually do it. Now, when Paul says pray at all times, he doesn't mean that you never sleep, that you just pray every single minute of the day, right? That's not what he's saying. But what he does mean with praying at all times is pray constantly. Always have prayer on your mind and on your heart, because that's what you're focusing on. It's what's important to you. It's the kind of lifestyle and attitude that you're proposing, is that you are living a life of prayer. Charles Spurgeon, he once said, "I rarely pray for more than 5 minutes." We're like, Spurgeon, the prince of preachers? This guy, he didn't pray for more than 5 minutes? That's crazy. But he says, "I never go 5 minutes without prayer." What does that say? That means that there's an ongoing relationship, that he's just talking to his Lord. He's just going throughout the day focused on, God, what do you want me to do? This isn't my life anyway, it's your life. How do you want me to live it? What choices do I need to make today that's going to give glory to your name and not to me? And he's walking each and every step of the way, talking to his God, communicating, communing with God. Again, it sounds so simple, it's so wise, but how difficult, because we forget. Have you ever been in a life situation, something that you're struggling with, and maybe it was something that came out of the blue, and then your first reaction is to, especially for planners, right? Okay, I gotta do this, I gotta do this. When our first response should be what? Stop and pray. Stop and pray and trust the Lord that even though those situations were unknown to you, they weren't unknown to God. And then you can ask him to help you, to direct you, to guide you through. So go to the Lord in prayer at all times. But then he also qualifies it with another phrase, in the Spirit. In the Spirit, it's the same association that we see in verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, right, which is the word of God. Then we see that we need to have our prayers be in the Spirit, in the Spirit. And Paul addresses this in another book, actually, the book that we're going through on Sunday evenings through Romans. He talks about things that are done in the flesh and things that are done in the Spirit. So when we pray, they need to be prayed our prayers need to be prayed for in the Spirit. What is this? Well, Piper says that these prayers are moved and guided by the Holy Spirit. Another way that we can put it is that our prayers are molded and shaped by the Holy Spirit. I guess the question that we need to ask ourselves is if Paul is telling these Ephesian believers we need to pray in the Spirit, is it possible to pray prayers that are in the flesh? And the answer is absolutely. Absolutely. And I think one of the most dangerous prayers that we can pray are prayers that may seem like they're righteous, but they're actually selfish. We're going to talk about that a little bit more, but the whole point that Paul is trying to make here is that when you pray, be guided by the Spirit, by what God has said, and allow Him to work in your prayers to be able to pray in the way that God wants you to pray. So prayer in the Spirit in contrast with the flesh. Now, there were ways that in the book of James that he highlights that there are people that were living their lives in a way that were not bad ways, but not guided according to the Spirit. In James chapter 4, you don't have to turn there, but I'll go ahead and read it for you. He calls them out, and he says in verse 13, starting in verse 13, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." How were these people operating in the world? They were operating in a sense that, yeah, I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to go and I'm going to make a profit. I'm going to work my business. You know, those aren't bad things. But their whole focus was out of line because it wasn't in line with God, whatever you will. I don't know if you pray in your prayers, but I like to include in many of my prayers, Lord, if you give us another day tomorrow, help me to glorify you. Direct me to where you want me to go. Lord, help me to walk in your wisdom if you give us another day. Because I believe that if really shows that I'm not in control. I'm not the one in control. Like, I can make plans for tomorrow, but tomorrow isn't a guarantee. So we need to be God-dependent. So praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. And we see the second part of verse 18 that there are two different kinds of prayers that are prayed. So Paul says, pray at all times in the Spirit. And what kind of prayers? The first one is general prayers, right? That is just communing with God. That can consist of personal prayer requests, something that's on your own heart about your own life that you give over to the Lord. It could involve adoration and praise. It can involve and should involve confession, right? Many times for us as Christians, we really don't have a mechanism in place to confess. I'm not saying that the Catholics get it right. Well, what I'm saying is confession needs to be a part of our prayers. And when we make confession a part of our prayers, you know what happens? We start to be more sensitive of when we sin, right? We start to be more mindful of, wow, you know, like I need to confess and forsake the things that I'm doing in my life because I'm walking in sin instead of walking in Christ. So confession is involved in this general prayer life. Asking for provision and protection. We've been doing a lot of that lately, right? With the hurricanes going through the southeast, with a lot of health concerns, we've been praying for healing. We've been praying for protection. We've been praying for safety and all those things. And we should. Then also we know from the Lord's Prayer that we should be praying for God's kingdom to come. That as his kingdom is represented in heaven, that it makes its way down to the earth because of what Christ has done. That lives are able to be transformed. And that can happen through prayer. So that's one kind of prayer. Then Paul also talks about supplications. This is basically praying on another person's behalf. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the next following verses. But Basically, these are prayers of petitioning on behalf of others. And we need to include other people in our prayers, right? Sometimes we can be so focused on our own selves and our own needs instead of praying for other people's needs. Again, we'll talk about that a little bit more here in a bit. Next, we see the purpose of prayer. What is the purpose of prayer? Because God needs to hear from us? He doesn't know what is on our hearts? He doesn't know our requests? No, of course not. He knows everything about us. He's sovereign, right? He knows our requests even before we ask them. So the reality is prayer is not for God. Who is prayer for? It's for us. Prayer is for us. Prayer demonstrates our dependence on God. Prayer is kind of like a recalibration. You're refocusing, reframing. It gives you perspective on that I am not God. I am not in control of my life. God is, and I need to fully depend on Him with my life. Prayer is not for God. Prayer is for us. And then secondly, prayer works. Do you believe that? Prayer works. If we believe our prayers don't make a difference because God will do what God will do apart from our prayers, then we're all sorely mistaken, right? Again, we don't dictate and we don't force God to make a decision that He doesn't want to make. God's going to do what He does, but if we don't believe that in our genuine decisions and our will that we have, that we bring our requests to God and they actually make a difference, then why even pray? That doesn't make sense. Elijah prayed, David prayed, Noah prayed, all these people prayed, and we can see that those prayers of faith in Scripture, we talked about that last week, right? These prayers that God is in control, but God can still move within the hearts of men and women and everyone on this earth, that prayer indeed makes a difference, and that's why we need to be on our knees and pray. I know it's a paradox that our prayers, even within the sovereignty of God and the free will of man, that they're both true, that God can be sovereign and already have things planned out for all eternity at the same time that we can be on our knees before Him praying to fill needs, and God is going to work in those specific situations. But one thing that I do know is the longer that we're in the fight in this world, and we know that this world is not a playground but a battlefield, and the longer that we're in it, the wearier that we'll become. And we see here that when we become weary, we want to drop to our knees in despair, when the reality is, yeah, we do need to drop to our knees, but not in despair, but in prayer. That's the time to turn to God. That's the time to allow prayer to give you that perspective, allow prayer to give you that power, allow prayer to give you provision for a weary and needy soul. Pray, 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 and then when you think you're done praying, pray some more. We need to be praying. I know prayer has sustained our church, and I was just thinking about this morning. I feel like it's pretty much impossible that our church still exists today after what we went through. But here we are. And I truly believe that's because people were on their knees praying, asking God to work, and the Lord has worked. The Lord worked in so many churches through COVID. Remember that time? I was talking to someone the other day about COVID, and churches were shutting down. They couldn't sustain themselves. And again, here we are. I'm not saying that we're better than anyone else because we're still here or whatever. What I'm saying is we serve a great God, and we drew on the power of God through prayer to be able to sustain us and direct us and guide us and give us wisdom through even the toughest parts in our lives, both as a church and individually. So we need to continue to pray. Now, you're going to see a lot of military illustrations because the armor of God, and this is talking about prayer, so just bear with me, okay? So in the Army, we have a system known as a battle buddy system. Okay, you have your battle buddy. I think they're trying to change it to something else, warrior companion. That doesn't sound as cool. But battle buddy, okay? Be politically correct or whatever. So basically, a battle buddy is someone who's always by your side. It's one of your peers, one of your friends in the military that is checking in on you. Because the reality is a leader can't know every single intricate detail about what's going on in your life and what you need. So your battle buddy will make sure that you're not alone, you're not isolated. Like, they'll be able to know you on a more intimate level and the needs that you have, and to be able to help fill those needs or take you to someone who can fill those needs for you. And when I thought about the battle buddy system, I thought about intercessory prayer in our lives, that, yeah, be mindful of your own needs, but sometimes we can be blind to what we need, and we need that battle buddy. And in the community of believers, we are each other's battle buddies, okay? We need to be able to, or we need to be lifting each other up in prayer, and we're not able to do that if we don't know each other. So that's why we're trying within our church to facilitate that community, to get to know each other. What are the needs? What's on our hearts? Not that you have to be buddy-buddy with everyone, but you have someone there knowing that you're not alone, that you're not isolated, and that there are people who are praying on your behalf. And that sustains you through the battle, to keep you going, keep fighting the good fight of faith. So our next point here is pray intercessory prayers. Pray intercessory prayers for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We see in verse 19 that phrase, to that end. So after he goes over, pray at all times in the Spirit, in these ways, he says, to that end, or to that outcome, meaning that when you pray at all times in the Spirit, make sure you do these things. And there's two things that Paul gives that we as believers need to do in verse 19. The first one is keep alert, which means keep awake, keep awake, or be on guard. Just as a guard stays alert and ready to defend, a prayer warrior remains vigilant, watching for signs of spiritual attacks and staying grounded in prayer. We need to be vigilant because there's attacks that can happen all around us spiritually, right? In our society, within our own flesh, we need to keep alert, because when we least expect it, we can get in a world of hurt if we're not careful. So keep alert. And he says, keep alert with all perseverance. Simply, don't give up. The Christian life is hard. Yes, we're promised peace, but it doesn't mean that it's not difficult. Because we know that as a believer, we're countercultural. We're swimming upstream, right, against all of our flesh, against all the society of how they want to guide us towards our own selfish hearts and our own selfish desires, and they hate God. And for those who love God, who are trying to serve him with their lives, it's difficult. That's why Paul tells these believers, persevere. Persevere. When it becomes tough, you got to dig down deep and extend that trust over to the Lord. We have the armor of God to withstand attacks, right? We have the sword of the Spirit, God's word, God speaking to us. Now we have prayer, which is us speaking to God. So in essence, again, forgive me for the military illustration, but prayer is the radio of the believer. You're on the comms, right? To call in support during times we are most vulnerable. And I tell you what, the deployment was difficult. If we lost our communication systems, oh man, that was a bad day. That was a bad day. And we just worked so hard to get them up as quick as we can. And I was in two other trainings. One was at the National Training Center in the Mojave Desert in California, Fort Irwin. And then the other one I did right before deployment, which was in the jungles of Louisiana. I haven't been so hot in my life being in Louisiana in the summer. I didn't realize I would have a perpetual sweat. Like, it was so bad. And I during those times, they throw everything at you. Like, everything that can go wrong, like during real life combat and things like that, they're going to throw it at you. Like, all, it's just overwhelming. I tell you what, the number one thing that we needed to make sure did not fail was comms, communication. So I see some veterans out there down there. You know what I'm talking about, right? Spiritually, if you lose your comms with God, you're done. That's your source. That's your power. That's your support. That's the big guns, right? That's the one who's going to come in and be able to supply the needs that you need to fill, that you cannot fill yourself, right? So we need to make sure we keep communication with God, communing with God. And I think one of the biggest enemies of our communication with God is a lot of good things that we're doing, but out of priority with God. So for instance, like we're busy involving ourselves in our family, which, hey, dads, moms, kids, like we should be involved with our families. Like we're busy engaging in our work. We want to do what's excellent. You know, we got a lot to do. We're engaging in our community. We're doing all these things, but we're not making time for prayer. And the reality is, you know, the illustration of the jar with the rocks, right, in the sand. Prayer is a big rock. Put it in the jar first, because before you know it, that jar is going to fill with sand, whether intentionally or unintentionally, and you're not going to have any room for what's most important. So put prayer on your list first, because that's your relationship with God. Spend time with God, whether that's in the morning, whether that's on your lunch break, whether that's at the end of the day. You know, the scripture doesn't have any specific guidance on when you should spend time with God, but make it a priority. Put that big rock in first. Even for me as a pastor, I'm human too. I struggle. I miss days. I'm like, God, I haven't talked to you all day today. And we need to be intentional if we're going to make it happen in our lives. Any relationship that we're in, any good relationship, requires work, requires effort. And if you don't put in the work in the relationship, what's going to end up happening? You have no relationship. You got to put forth the work, and it's the same way with God. So we must persevere. We must commune with God. We must make supplication for the saints. What is the supplication? Specific prayer requests involving other believers. Prayers for protection, of course. Prayers for spiritual growth, right? That others are growing in their faith, whatever step or whatever stage that they are in their life, that they are growing, that they are learning more about God today than they did the day before. True success unfolds through prayers lifted up for others. While it's natural and important to pray for our own needs, there's something profoundly powerful and transformative when we step beyond ourselves and pray for others in the Spirit. Imagine if you prayed for me and I prayed for you. How much more would that deepen our connection to the Lord and for each other? And I know, I am fully confident that when I was downrange, that there were people praying. How do I know that? Because God was working so powerfully in the lives of people while I was over there. And just things I couldn't explain were happening. And I'm like, I know people are praying back home. We'll talk about that more in a bit. But what should we pray for? Pray for those who are hurting. Pray for those who are doubting. Pray for those who are struggling in their families, in their workplaces, with their futures, with their health. Parents, pray for your children. Children, please pray for your parents. We need it. We need it a lot, okay? Pray for your spouses. Pray for those all around you who are of faith that can't live on their own without God. Now, let me ask you a question. I'll put it this way. We've all heard this question, whether it's again to know time in a new group or anything, or with your friends. What would you do with $1 million? What would you do if you had $1 million right now? Well, inflation right now in the economy, maybe I should up it to like 10 million. What would you do with $10 million, okay? $1 million can give you just like a basic house right now, right? So $10 million, what would you get? Probably say, I'll pay off all of my debts. I'd get a mansion. You know, I'll get a fancy car. You know, I'll do all these things. I'll go on an extravagant vacation, traveling all across the whole world. It was my dream. But then you get this one kid, and you know what they're going to say. They say, I would give the $10 million to all the orphans of the world. Well, thank you, kid, for making us all feel bad, right, of what we would do with it. But think about it. We are spiritually wealthy. What are we doing with it? Yeah, we know we're on our way to heaven. We know we have a relationship with God. We know we're growing in grace. But what about the others who aren't partakers of God's inheritance? What about them? We're going to find in verse 20 that Paul has a specific prayer request. He could have prayed for anything for these Ephesian believers to pray on his behalf, but he prays about one thing in particular. So lastly, verse 20, Paul asked for personal prayer. So if you were Paul, what would you ask for? Well, a few things came to mind. Perhaps you would pray for safety. You know, it was dangerous out there. Jews were after him. Gentiles were after him. Basically, everyone was after him. He upsetted everyone. Didn't matter. He's no respecter of persons there. He was also out in the elements a lot of times. He got tired. He was hungry. He was cold. He was hot. You know, you name it. He was under a lot of distress. Perhaps funding, you know, to travel all across, going on his missionary journeys. It wasn't completely free, right? He had to pay for travel on ships and over land. And he had to have a place to sleep. He had to have, meals to eat. He had to have equipment, everything. And of course, he worked as a tent maker, but he couldn't spend all of his time doing that because he wasn't called to be a tent maker. He was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. What else? Oh, yes, his health, right? If he wasn't healthy, he couldn't do ministry. He needed to keep in good health to keep the ministry going. If his health failed, then he didn't have anything. What am I missing here? Oh, yeah, he's in prison. Paul is in prison writing this letter to the Ephesian believers. Surely he'll ask for prayer for the Roman believers that the government will be convinced that he's innocent and that they'll let him go free, right? Wouldn't that be the logical prayer request that Paul asks these believers to pray for him about? But what's the prayer request here? Paul says, that words be given to me to open my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. How humbling. Wow, out of everything he could have prayed for in the predicament that he was in prison, in chains, he prays that he speaks boldly concerning the gospel, that Jesus Christ saves. Because to him, it wasn't about this life. It wasn't about this body. It was about eternity. That people's souls were in the balance, and that's what he cared about. And again, don't get me wrong. Don't walk away from here saying, Pastor Chris says, don't ever pray for people's health. Don't ever pray for people's safety. I'm not saying that, but it's about a focus. It's about a mentality. It's about what is your life all about? What is most important to you? Which should be what's most important to God. That's people's souls. So even in chains, Paul urges this Ephesian church to pray for him. And I know many of you have prayed similar prayers for me and for each other, that there are people that you know that don't know Christ, that they are lost in their sin, they're on their way to hell, and they are on your very heart, your very soul of, for God to work in their lives. Pray for one another. That's why I really want to emphasize on our prayer meetings on Sunday night, at least one Sunday, let us focus on people's souls and the lost and how we are able to reach them for Christ. We need to be praying about those. So remember, while the body may perish, the soul endures. Let us infuse our prayer life with a deep desire for God to use us to bring the gospel into other people's lives. And this is true success through God's eyes. So as we wrap up here, I don't know where you are in your own prayer life today. Perhaps you're just beginning, needing to start by simply praying and building a habit of talking to God. Maybe you're already praying, but find that your prayers often center around your own needs. Now is the time to expand your heart, to be able to go to God and lift up others on their behalf, your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. and then pray that your fellow brothers and sisters, with the relationships that God has given them, that they're able to open their mouth boldly. That word means freely, right? You don't have any hesitation. You don't have any shame in your bold witness for Christ. Again, not purposely offensive or being a jerk, but you are proclaiming the truth to a world that is without it. Our society often defines success by self-sufficiency. But as Christians, our true success is measured by our dependence on God. Let us not forget that. This deep, abiding dependence cannot be achieved without a life rooted in prayer. So may we keep the lines of communication open. Seek God in every season, in every struggle, to be fully equipped for the spiritual battles we face. So let us pray continually that we may stand firm, be strengthened, and live lives that point others to Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the power of your word. And Lord, we thank you for the power of prayer. Lord, how often we forget one of the easiest things that we can do, but one of the easiest things that we overlook. Help us to be on our knees in prayer for each other. Lord, being able to have our minds and our hearts directed to what's truly important, Lord, that you should be the driving force in our lives, that we should be completely dependent. Everything that we face, that we know that we can hand it over to you. So help us to do that, Lord. Help us to live lives completely selfless, completely filled with your love. And Lord, to find true success, not in this world's eyes, not to claim everything in this world, but lose our own soul, but to truly find success in your eyes. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.